As the hymnist confesses, the saints who here in patience their cross and sufferings bore shall live and reign forever when sorrow is no more. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I must admit that the first two words out of St. James' mouth, be patient, confound me and pierce me altogether. You know, it's one of those words that seems impossible to ever reach. Be patient. Yes, we perhaps know that the ancients would say that patience is a virtue, an excellence of morality. And yet I hear that in my flesh today, and I protest and I say, well, they weren't living in the supersonic hamster wheel of the 21st century. And yet they had their crosses and were compelled for patience as well. But in our time, with the constant juggling of this earthly life, patience, I must admit, is something that consistently eludes me, with myself and with others. And it is often something that is in short supply when I feel overwhelmed, or anxious, or even angry. And frankly, the person that I am most impatient with is God. I mean, what is he doing? Why did that happen? Why does this continue to happen? Why didn't this happen? When is he really going to come back to judge the living and the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ? We've been waiting thousands of years. I mean, admittedly, my angst, my anger reveals my sin and my idolatry, my futile reliance upon my works and my ability to make things happen. And when frustrated with God's timetable and his workings, I must admit, I get discouraged and I get depressed. Not to mention that I bounce between these really two horrible poles. Either A, pushing harder and faster to make things happen the way that they should be, or at least I think they should be, or the other extreme of basically saying, okay, forget it, I give up. So pondering all of this past week, and actually much of my life, I think that perhaps the deepest regret of man is that as he looks back on the years of his life, he realizes that he wished he had understood the unfolding of time. That is to say, that he wishes he would have been more patient. Now, perhaps maybe patience would not elude me as much as it does if I had not been born in the city 8 miles from the ocean, but rather on a farm in the 1840s. After all, as St. James says, the farmer, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Well, so the farmer, he knows that a quick downpour can briefly satisfy his thirsty crops, that they can lift a tired stem, that they can perk up yellowed, wilting leaves. But he also knows that at the same time, this burst of 90-degree heat all of a sudden will have him muttering to himself, did it ever rain at all? He knows that his plants need these roots that are established. They're grounded. They're steadfast. And that really only happens with moments of thousands of moments of cool, gentle, consistent, and steady rain. This soaking in. And so James would have us see here, as we read between the lines, that Jesus is the farmer. He's the sower and he's the harvester. And that with the early and the late rains, that is the preaching of the gospel, that he plants us in the ground of his flesh, his word. And by that flesh and word, he provides for all that we need to support this body and life. And that he will harvest us unto eternal life through his death and his resurrection. And so it strikes me as very merciful and tender that my Lord would meet my gross impatience with his patience. When it seems that nothing is going according to plan, that nothing is happening as it should, or as though nothing is getting accomplished or getting better, it's not because that the Lord is slow. It's not because that the Lord is angry. It's not even because he's some sort of sadistic God who's toying with us like a puppeteer toys with a marionette doll. No, it's because he's patient with me, with you, with all of us collectively. That he bears my impatientness with his patient love and mercy and forgiveness. So patience is then exemplified by the Lord, who hesitates to carry out his just judgments to allow all kinds of wonderful things to happen, like unbelievers repenting and prodigals returning and the fullest harvest being gathered in before the winter's judgment. And so patience is a form of compassion, one that Jesus perfects and one that we struggle to emulate in this life. Patience involves much more than the ability to just simply hold back for some sort of future gain, as if basically God is only waiting for an opportunity to express his wrath at the right time and he's just gonna judge us right then. That's not patience. Patience is an expression of God's love to give all time to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. Thus, God's patience is not mere restraint or tolerating things until he finally can't take it anymore. No, it's an active engagement in our struggles and bearing our burdens and slowly and patiently nursing us along in his word and sacraments unto abundant life. And by this compassion and patience, we see this throughout the Gospels, that Jesus turns skeptics into believers and enemies into friends and sinners into saints. And by this grace and patientness, James says that we establish our hearts. That is to say, that we bite our grumbling tongues, that we refrain from harsh judgments, and that we recognize that life for every single one of us is a struggle each and every day, sometimes of which we do not know. And so James calls us away from betraying a disregard or even a contempt for the internal and external crosses that we all face as broken and fallen creatures of God in this earthly life. He also calls pastors, who are actually the primary audience of his text that he is writing, who have a responsibility over the harvest that they have been entrusted with by Jesus, to that same patience. So it is indeed by a lack of patient compassion of pastors that they significantly are destructive to what God is doing by his gospel in his church and in the world. And so James then tells us to look to our forefathers in the faith, to the prophets who suffered and endured. And so we take a look at a few. Think about Ezekiel, strangely, who had to lay on his left side for 390 days and then 40 days on his right side. But more, who was told to cook with human dung, but then finally it was ended up being animal dung. And then he was not allowed to grieve his wife's death. Or maybe it's Isaiah, who was told to walk naked for 3 years. And then, as tradition has it, that he died or was martyred, sawed in half, even as he lived under the terrible reign of King Manasseh. Or Jeremiah, who the only one in the Bible was forbidden to marry, who wished that he had never been born, and who was cast in a well and left to die in the mud. Or maybe then it's Hosea, who was told that he was going to marry a harlot, an adulteress, who he knew was going to commit these wicked things, and then he was told to take her back as his wife. Or maybe then it's Elijah, who was terrorized by the bloodthirsty and narcissistic Queen Jezebel, Elijah so upset that he's sitting under a broom tree wanting to die. Or you all know about Daniel, right? Who was thrown into the lion's den to be eaten by lions because he refused to pray to the tyrant King Nebuchadnezzar, or short King Nebi. And if not those prophets, I mean, you cannot possibly have not heard of the steadfastness of Job, right? I mean, he didn't suffer in resigned silence. He cried out to God, he lamented to God, he prayed to God. But in all of it, he still refused to let God go, even as the end of everything was happening to him and his life. His wife couldn't wait. She told him, I mean, just curse God and die. What's your problem? His friends couldn't wait. They just told him, hey, you must have done something to have earned this, so just confess it and God will just simply auto-correct your life back to the way that it used to be. But Job confesses, as you well know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Think about that. How's that for patience? And you certainly cannot forget John today. He's sitting in prison, waiting for the Messiah to act. And as you know, he once preached that Jesus was indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But what about now? Where is the burning fire of judgment? Where is the destruction of the wicked? Why doesn't he gather his own to himself, wheat into the barn? Why doesn't he fulfill the promises of Isaiah that we read in 35, especially the ones about the prisoners being liberated? So John sends messengers to Jesus to ask him, are you the one to come, or shall we look for another? Whether he was asking that on the basis of his disciples or on the basis of himself, exegetes argue that like how many angels dance on the pin of a head of a needle. But still, Jesus then responds, as you hear in the gospel text, that he says, go tell John what you have seen and heard. These amazing things that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, good news is preached to the poor. And blessed are the ones who are not offended at me or scandalized by me. Patience is the one who does not give up waiting. Doesn't give up Advent. Patient is the one who doesn't grow impatient and start thinking that things are not happening because salvation isn't occurring according to his or her timetable. Being patient, James says, is, look, don't assume that the Lord isn't acting because you can't see it or life is not the way that you want it to be. Be like a farmer. Remember, ultimately, that the greatest farmer is Jesus, who planted this world in compassion and mercy. Be like that farmer, Jesus, and remember that he plants into your heart a steadfast and immovable faith through your ears, and that he will establish your heart as being one which is patient as he nourishes it from beginning unto the end. It's kind of like the rain and the snow that fall from heaven. So also the word of God and the sacraments of God do not return empty, but accomplish the purpose for which it was sent, which is your redemption and salvation. But back to that hamster wheel, right? We all know that we live in a time and a world that can't wait for anything. Not a single thing. Patience, yes, is a virtue, something we should strive to for moral excellence. And yet, it's buried beneath a pace of life that has been created by technologies and modern conveniences that form our mind and our heart to expect things instantaneously. And so this has created for us the illusion that good things, the delivery of those things in life, will always come fast and the way that we want them. Thank you, Amazon. Same day delivery. And when what we want does not appear immediately according to what we expect, we demand to know why. I have the tracking number and it says on my phone that it's supposed to be on my doorstep. Where is it? See? It's right there. This is also in us nurture the expectation that there must be answers to all of our questions and solutions to all of our problems. If we just know how to search the internet. Thank you, Google. James and the season of Advent today, they pull you and they pull me out of this world and pull us into a new world, the new creation, which says, you can wait. You can be patient. Because patience is tied to waiting. And the two of them together are both tied to the climax, conclusion, and consummation of all things. The new heavens and the new earth. You know the goal and the purpose of which God has sought for you. The end to which he is bringing you and all things. And because you know the end, you can wait in the middle. You can bear your crosses and you can know that God is not slow in keeping his promises as some would understand slowness, as St. Peter would say. But rather, he is patient with us. And if you thought that we had to be patient waiting for God, how much more would God have to be patient with us? That's a scary thought. But he is patient toward us nonetheless, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentant joy. Gaudete Sunday. This Advent that pulls us into this waiting and reminds us that God's end for us is one of compassionate mercy and new life in Jesus. So he calls you, he gathers you together, he feeds you and he perfects you. Therefore, you can wait. Because it's not in your hands, nor is it in mine, nor was it ever in your hands or mine, nor will it ever be in your hands or mine. He began this good work in you. From heaven above to earth, he comes, as he says, raining down this gentle and steady gift of his body and his blood to establish your hearts, to give you this immovable faith and life in a very impatient world. And not only has he began this good work in you, he will also bring it to completion, its appointed end. Remember, he always finishes what he starts. Therefore, I can wait. I can be patient. I can be at rest in my God and with all of my neighbors. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.